I wonder if you've ever heard of the name Fred DeLuca. I'd never heard of this name until about 3 weeks ago. Fred is someone who, back in 1965, he was a young man then, opened a small sandwich shop in Connecticut in the United States. At first he struggled, but then he began to expand, taking on staff and opening four more outlets, then eight more, then 16 more, and so on. You can read his story on the internet, Fred DeLuca, and today he has the largest fast food chain in the world. It's now got 43,000 outlets in no less than 112 countries. I wonder if you can guess which chain it is. I don't think I would have guessed it. It's Subway. And the story of its growth and expansion is remarkable. It began with just one man, and its development came about as more and more people took on responsibilities, got involved, opened new outlets, served up more and more fresh food to more and more people. It's a great example of how businesses grow. One man or woman has a vision of what can be done. He or she takes on more and more staff, trains them up, sets them to work, opens new outlets, and so on. It's a story that has happened literally millions of times with all kinds of commercial activities. And it's also, in a rather different way, the story of the Christian church, the story of the growth of the kingdom of God. God's kingdom has grown, and it still grows, through the involvement of more and more people in, if I can put it this way, more and more outlets. And that's been happening right down the centuries. And we've got something of this in our gospel reading for today. The man Jesus Christ can only be in one village or small town at any one place, at any one time. He can only heal and preach in one place before he moves on to the next one. But if he appoints 72 of his followers and sends them out into all the towns round about, there's an immediate expansion of the work of the kingdom of God, a huge potential expansion. And that, in a nutshell, is the story of the Christian church, the kingdom of God growing and growing over the last 2,000 years and more. Here, then, is my first main point out of today's gospel reading. It is this, that one of the main ways in which the Lord expands and extends his kingdom here on earth is through his servants. He did this right at the beginning, and he continues this today as he calls his servants, appoints his servants, and sends them out so that his kingdom will grow more and more and bring God's blessings to more and more people. And our reading tells us how the Lord sent out his servants to teach and to preach and to heal, replicating his work at that time. Sometime before this, he'd sent out his select group of 12 apostles in a similar way for missionary work, which has led people to think that the best way and the only way, perhaps, to serve the Lord in his kingdom is to go and do some kind of missionary work. And the further away and the deeper the jungle, the better. This interpretation does not give us the full picture. It's incomplete, because the work of the kingdom of God is not just about preaching and teaching and healing. Yes, it's about these things, but it's about 1,000 things more. It's about love in action in our daily lives. Love for God and love for neighbor, which seeks the holistic well-being of others and the common good. It's about justice and working for justice and truth and honesty. It's about caring for the poor and needy. It's about good government. It's about good relationships in families and communities and between nations. It's also about Christian worship and service in the church, but so much more as well. which means that we don't have to become a missionary or to be ordained or have a special job in the local church to be one of God's servants in his kingdom. I wonder if you know the name Charles Spurgeon. He was perhaps the most famous, one or two of you are nodding, preacher in the Victorian era. He was a Baptist preacher. You know the Elephant Castle, that big metropolitan up there. He used to preach to 5,000 people morning and evening, and he started all sorts of Baptist churches round about the neighbourhood, some of which are still flourishing today. And one day a woman in his church came to him and she said, well, I want to serve the Lord in a different way. I want to become a full-time church worker so that I can really serve the Lord. And Charles Spurgeon asked her about the number of her children. And she said, 15. Maybe that wasn't desperately unusual in the Victorian era. And he said, what on earth do you want to become a full-time church worker for? You're already working full-time for the Lord. And the woman got the point that to be the best kind of Christian mother, loving and caring for her children in accordance with Christian values, is just as much part of working for the kingdom as being a missionary in some distant land. So also is the work of a butcher, a baker, a candlestick maker, and other forms of work which help other people and strengthen the common good. I got a laugh earlier at St. Peter's when I said, I thank God for dentists. Yes, you find that amusing too. When you think of dentists, toothache, it's terrible, isn't it? Thank God there are dentists. What are dentists doing? They are involved in healing work. Healing work is part of the kingdom of God, bodily health, good health. They are agents of God's kingdom, be they Christians or not Christians. And all this kind of work, butcher, baker, candlestick maker, it builds up the work of the kingdom. Well, we rely on it in so many ways, and it's day by day for the good of society, for the good of individuals. Somebody once said that the kingdom of God grows one person by one person. It also grows one deed by one deed, one small act by one small act. It's not only in the big things that the kingdom of God goes forward, it's also in millions of small actions and deeds that happen every day. It's the bread and butter of daily life, doing good work in an office situation, being aware of someone's need and responding to it, perhaps just with a kind word, listening to a child who's eager, they're so eager to tell a story, and so on. And it's not just about being on the giving end of all this, it's being on the receiving end as well. If someone smiles at us, it can strengthen us, can't it? That's strengthening in the kingdom of God. A woman was walking along a beach when she saw somebody who was picking up starfish, washed up, and throwing them back into the sea. And she said to that person, what on earth are you doing? There are millions of starfish washed up on this beach. You're not really going to make any difference at all to all of this. The person picked up another starfish and threw it back into the sea and said, it makes all the world a difference to this one. You get the point, don't you? That the way in which the Lord expands his kingdom is by using his servants like you and me in acts large and small, make it grow just that little bit more. Think of a building being constructed. We see it every day as we go about our daily business. And from day to day, it doesn't seem that much is happening. But bricks are being laid day by day. And as we go by a week or so later, we realize that the building has grown just as one brick, one tiny brick, has been put in after another. That's the first point, that a key way in which the Lord expands his kingdom is by using his servants like you and me to put in yet another small brick, which can make us think, I hope, this morning. I've certainly been thinking about this. In what ways are we part of all this? Let's move to a second main point. You'll be relieved to hear that there are only two main points for this sermon. So we're more than halfway through, you'll be glad to hear. And it's this, that as the Lord uses his servants to extend his kingdom, he gives us today guidance and instruction. Now, in our gospel reading for this morning, Jesus gives his 72 servants quite detailed instructions about where they are to go, what they're to take with them, how they're to receive hospitality, and what they are to do if they're not welcome in any particular town or village. I think of going to Woolwich Barracks after my retirement from full-time ministry. I became a part-time chaplain at Woolwich Barracks. And when I walked in the door to the barracks, I would see the commanding officer's daily orders pinned up, and I'd often stop and look and see what they were all about. And they were usually pretty detailed instructions. These soldiers are to be there to do that at that time, and those soldiers are to go there and do that at that time, and so on. And a little bit here like the commanding officer's orders, you know, about their mission that they are to undertake and what they're to do and what not to do. And sometimes Jesus gives such detailed instructions. Do you remember that thing on First Palm Sunday, how he told one of his disciples, go and find this donkey, it'll be tied up in such and such a place, get it ready, brush it down maybe, and bring it to me so I can ride into Jerusalem. There are other detailed instructions too about preparing the Lord's Supper and so on. And sometimes today we hear stories, perhaps wonderful stories, about how Christians seem to be given really detailed instructions about this or that. Go to such and such a place and you will meet such and such a person, and it happens, you know. But that's more unusual. The usual way in which the Lord gives us instructions is that we have general instructions about how we are to live and behave as servants in his kingdom. So he says in the Sermon on the Mount, you are the light of the world, a light that's not to be hidden. So let your light so shine before other people that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Which is a general instruction that needs to be worked out in the lives of hundreds of millions of Christian people around the world today, each one in his or her own particular situation. It's not surprising that we don't find detailed instructions in the Bible for every situation that we're going to meet in daily life. Each one of us here this morning is in a different situation. If we were to have detailed instructions in here for each one of us about what to do in each situation, this book would be billions of pages long. Of course it would. And so we are guided by God's Spirit. We are guided by this book, yes, general instructions. We are guided through prayer, through the help of other Christians, through circumstances, and so on. I'm sure many of you have heard these words of Teresa of Avila. Christ has no body but yours. No hands, no feet on earth, but yours. Yours are the eyes through which he looks with compassion on this world. Yours are the feet through which he walks to do good. Yours are the hands through which he blesses all the world. Christ has no body now on earth but yours. Which all means that in our daily relationships, in our neighborhood, at our place of work, all our daily activities, we can, in the words of the hymn that we sing so often here in church, be as Christ to other people. So the conclusion of this sermon, I think, is quite a simple one. A couple of questions for me, first of all, and also I suggest for each one of us. Are there any new ways in which the Lord might want us here in church to be part of the work of his kingdom? That's one to take away. It's not for instantaneous answer. But are there things that we might be doing in our daily lives that we're not now doing that might advance his kingdom. And are there, question two, are there any instructions and guidance from the Lord about all this that I may have forgotten or which I need to take on board in a new way?